Hey there, welcome to episode 326 of the Fantastic Forecast. I'm Dave Elliott, and once again I'm recording this podcast while in my car. Don't worry, I'm not driving. My cat is. Oh no, Toonsons, look out! On today's episode, Fantastic Four 326 from May 1989, The Illusion by John Harkness, that would be Steve Englehart, not wanting to take the blame for this shit, and artist Keith Pollard. So the issue begins on Avengers Island, off the coast of New York, in the snow, with these two well-known Avengers. The Avengers we all know and love so well. It's Mr. Fantastic and the Invisible Woman, which is kind of nuts. They quit the Fantastic Four so they could spend more time with their son, so instead, they join the Avengers. How does that make any sense? It doesn't. Sue asks her husband, "You're not happy, are you, Reed?" Boy, it's been a long time since I did that voice. And Reed admits that, yeah, he's not happy. He likes the Avengers, but he'd rather be with the Fantastic Four. Sue reminds him that he promised to let Ben be the leader of the team and not interfere, and he says he hasn't seen Manhattan since that Inferno business, and he's going to go back there and have to have a look and check things out. She makes him promise not to try to take over the Fantastic Four, and he says, okay, he promises. Yeah, right. We know we've pretty much reached the end of the line for Ben Grimm's Not-So-Fantastic 3. So Reed hops in this weird ship, which I've never seen before, and he's thinking to himself that sometimes Sue treats him like her son, which isn't the case at all. He treats her like his daughter, not the other way around. He thinks he didn't need Sue to tell him to keep his word to Ben. He may be a scientist, but he's not absent-minded. He may be a superhero, but he's not some comic book boob. And he keeps on going, thinking to himself, I've been doing my bit for world peace since before some of these newcomers with spike hair and Fredericks of Hollywood costumes were born. Which is funny, because within a few years, Sue will be wearing one of those Fredericks of Hollywood costumes. So anyway, he lands on the snow-covered roof of the building with the big giant four on it, and he gets out and he tries to get inside the building, and his entry card, it doesn't work. He wonders for a moment if he grabbed the wrong card, and he looks at it. Nope, it's the right card. So next, he uses his finger, and he makes it into the shape of a card. But really? Does that matter? I mean, it's a key card, not a key. I assume in 1989, the key card was operating with some kind of magnetic strip. So how does taking his finger and turning it into some kind of weird shape duplicate the same thing as a flat card with a magnetic strip? I don't get it. Well, whatever he does, it works, and the door opens. He heads down the steps, and then, clank, these metal clamps pop up out of the floor, and they lock onto his ankles. So the building's automatic defenses are attacking Reed, much to his surprise. A laser cannon comes out of the wall and starts shooting at him. So now he's really working up a sweat, afraid for his life, moving around, dodging these blasts. He sticks a long, stretchy arm into the machine, reaches around, and finally finds the power source, and basically, he unplugs it, and the gun's shut off. So Reed falls to the floor, exhausted, with his long, stretchy body extended all over the room. So the door opens, and Ben, Sharon, and Johnny, and Elijah the Skrull enter. Johnny's still on fire, but he's standing right next to his wife, with no concerns about burning her. Are Skrulls impervious to fire? Even if they are, Johnny doesn't know that. He doesn't know she's a Skrull. Ben asks Reed, so, are you having fun? And Johnny jokes that if Reed wanted to stretch out, he should have used a hammock. Reed snaps back that it's not funny. He was fighting for his life in there. So Ben wonders, if the automatic defenses went off, how come no alarms went off? Then Reed suggests they head down to the master control room and check it out. So Ben asks Reed why he's there at the headquarters anyway, and Reed says he's come back to check on things after the Inferno, and he adds, you don't seem very glad to see me, old friend. And Ben replies, aw, it ain't that, big brain. So they get to the master control console, and, you know, it just occurred to me, Reed still hasn't asked Johnny about his condition. He doesn't normally walk around the house with his Nova Strength flame on like that. I guess Reed's not very observant. So he makes some adjustments to the master controls, and then finally, he asks, "Why are you flaming like that?" Johnny explains how he lost his ability to flame on during that inferno craziness, when the city was overrun with magic, and demons, and demon-like creatures. So Reed says, "That's fascinating," and suggests that he can probably do something to help. And Johnny's reaction is like, "No, no, no, I've seen you try to help Ben before. I appreciate it, but, So while he seems a little hesitant, Lasha the Skrull steps forward and asks Reed to help, saying that they're newlyweds, but she can't go near him. You know, see, that's the difference between the real Alicia and Lasha the Skrull. Real Alicia didn't mind that her rock monster boyfriend Ben could never have sex with her, but Lasha the Skrull, she has got to get her fuck on. So Reed tells her that he'll see what he can do, and then Ben jumps in and says, "Now, don't go thinking we need any help. The FF's done just fine since I took over. I'll admit, the kid situation ain't perfect." It sounds like Ben is trying to talk Reed out of helping Johnny. What a douchebag. Sharon tells Ben not to be silly. Reed's just trying to help. I don't think Ben can accept the fact. He's a terrible leader. Horrible. The worst. Reed puts his arm around Ben and says, "This is your Fantastic Four. I'm not going to get in your way. I promise." Yeah, right. He's such a liar. But really, can you blame him? So he says that he'll give Sue a call and tell her what's happened to Johnny. And then he'll be staying for a while. Meanwhile, in the warehouse headquarters of the Wizard, we have the Wizard. And he's thinking about his latest plans to attack the Fantastic Four. But his timing is terrible. He should have attacked before Reed came back. What an idiot. So we learn that he put a virus into the FF's computers, which is why Reed had trouble. Next, he heads into another room where he has assembled a brand new version of the Frightful Four. Hydro Man, Claw, and Titania. Oh no, he kicked out Pastepot Pete, that bastard. I don't like this new Frightful Four, not one bit. So the three new members of the team are working out and practicing and stuff, and already Hydro Man and Claw get into an argument about who's more powerful. And Titania is going on about how she can't wait to get revenge on a world that treated her like shit back when she was just a normal gal named Skeeter McFerrin. They teased her, and they used to call her Mosquito. She says, "I'll have my share of blood now." I thought she was dating an Absorbing Man. Where's he? If I were the Wizard, I would totally take Absorbing Man on my team any day over Claw or freaking Hydra Man. So anyway, Titania mentions that she got her powers from Dr. Doom, and the Wizard says, "I would remind you that dread Dr. Doom creates only beings inferior to himself, while the wondrous Wizard has a genius for teams which exceed the sum of their parts." A genius for teams? Has he created some other supervillain team that we're not aware of? Because up until now, the Frightful Four has always included Pastepot Pete, and there's no genius about that. That's called scraping the bottom of the barrel. Claw mentions that he lost to the Fantastic Four before because he was outnumbered. Hydra Man kindly reminds them that he also once lost to Daredevil, and he wasn't outnumbered then. Claw gets defensive, saying, "I had my brain torn apart. In the Secret Wars, I was still recovering." Hydra Man says he can't wait to take on the Human Torch. Titania says that's an obvious matchup, and that Claw and her can take out the He-Thing and the She-Thing. But wait, they're dealing with the Fantastic Three. What's the Wizard gonna do? So the Wizard says that Reed Richards is back with the team now, and it's the perfect time to attack. Why? Why is it it's a terrible time to attack. Wait till Reed leaves. Reed will come up with some kind of contraption to beat them all. Don't mess with that guy. He's bad news. But no one on the team has the nerve to tell Wizard he's full of shit. So back at FF headquarters, Sue and Franklin show up. Great. So now they're the Fantastic Five. The Frightful Four, really outnumbered. And if Steve Englehart wants to have Franklin use his crazy powers, that's a Fantastic Six. So Sue puts up a force field around herself and gives her brother Johnny a hug. And Franklin gets his first look at the new thing with his big pointy rocks. And he says, "You look ratty cool, Uncle Ben." Oh, I remember 1989. And using that phrase, ratty cool, for everything. Man, when Mookie threw that trash can into Sal's window, that was ratty cool. And then Franklin reminds Ben to call him Frank now, not Franklin. I don't think that nickname stuck very long, did it? So they head off into Reed's lab, where he's hard at work building some shit, and this time he's got Sharon looking around his heavy machinery. You know, maybe Reed should build those machines where he wants them instead of building them and then having one of his thing slaves move it around. And then he has Ben bring in his most important equipment of all, his Torino XL, which is a personal computer. Reed says that PCs are great. No wonder everyone in the country's buying one. Yeah, just wait till people figure out how to use a PC for porn. They're really going to fly off the shelves. So he starts pulling up all the data he's got stored on his computer, while Ben and Sue go off together for a little chat. So they have a seat, and Sue tells Ben the same thing Reed's been saying, that she doesn't want to get in his way as leader of the FF. And she says that she only got involved in the FF because of Reed and Johnny, and she was also on that missile ride because she wanted to beat the commies into space. Gotta squeeze in that one last Cold War reference while she can. And she says that Reed really does want to let Ben control the FF. But, and you knew there would be a but, you can never know when someone might attack and change your plans, she says. Meanwhile, just outside the front door of the building, out in the snow, with a coat on but her bare legs showing, Titania has a guitar, and she's singing,
"Well, it's all right. Even if they say you're wrong, well, it's all right."
Much to the chagrin of all the people walking by. Lots of chagrin, and the security guard is looking at her, and he's thinking, "Why doesn't she get a job?" Back upstairs, Reed is telling Sharon how helpful it is to have a second rock monster slave to do his heavy lifting, and she says that she has a question.
"Ben says that you said things can turn normal again just by willing it," she asks.
Reed says that was his theory about Ben, but he thought Sharon didn't want to turn back. She says she doesn't, and he shouldn't have told Ben that he could after he lost his power to be human again. That was kind of mean. Reed says, "It sounds like you really care for him." And she says that she does. She loves him. He's ratty cool. Reed says that's wonderful, and he looks forward to getting to know her. Hint, hint, he ain't leaving. Back outside at a building construction site, Claw is up to no good. He uses his sound powers, making a burst of sound at the appropriate frequency, which turns on the engines of all the construction vehicles on the site. You know, I don't think engines operate on sound frequencies like that, but I'm not a mechanical guy, dude. Back inside, Reed has completed this huge machine, and he tells Johnny to get inside and have a seat. Johnny, understandably nervous, says, "I hope you know what you're doing." Sue says, "If he doesn't, nobody does." And Ben asks if that's supposed to be comforting. So Reed turns on the machine, and Johnny's surrounded by all these circular beams of energy that swirl around his body. Outside the building, some of those beams of energy are even swirling around the FF's headquarters. And then, in a case of very bad timing, Claw and Hydra Man burst into the room, and somehow they knew exactly what room in the five stories of the FF headquarters to go to. So Claw zaps Miss Marvel with his powers, and Hydra Man sprays Ben with water. Ben says they must be nuts for just the two of them to attack by themselves, and then Titania shows up, and she picks up Ben and tosses him across the room and into a big piece of machinery. Sharon responds by punching Titania in the face, and Claw zaps Sue in the head. And then the wizard arrives and tells the FF they're facing the new Frightful Four. Reed yells out to Ben that he must keep them away from Johnny right now. He says this interruption could be fatal. Now, Wizard doesn't like being dismissed as an interruption and says this is an all-out war. So chaos breaks out. Hydra Man starts trying to drown Sharon, but Sue steps in and uses some of her force fields to separate Hydra Man into about six different pieces, which is kind of disgusting. Sue jokes, "I give a damn." That's a damn without the letter N. Pretty clever, that Sue. Ben and Titania are duking it out, and he seems to be getting the best of her. But Claw creates this huge red elephant with his powers. The elephant tramples on Ben, and then lifts him up with his trunk, and tosses Ben into the machine where Johnny's sitting. So Ben crashes into the machine with a loud brack. Everyone stops and they turn and they look over, and Johnny emerges from the machine, and he's cured. His flames are back to normal. And then everyone gets closer, and they look down at Ben, and the machine has cured him too. He's been turned back into a normal human being. And that's the end of the issue. On the last page, it says next issue, the Fantastic Four, and the word four is crossed out, which is kind of funny because they've only had three members for almost a year now at this point. And if Ben doesn't have his powers now, with Reed, Sue, Johnny, and Sharon, that's four members. So I don't know why they're crossing out the word four. So that's it for now. You can find my favorite panels from each issue of the Fantastic Four and other stuff on my blog at www.podcastff.blogspot.com. You can download other episodes at iTunes or at www.podcastff.podbean.com. And if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. And finally, sometimes I get tired of doing nothing but issues of the Fantastic Four. Every once in a while, I like to be able to do a podcast on something else, which is why I've come up with another podcast. Two podcasts! I've been racking my brain trying to come up with something a little more unique, and I think I finally hit on something. I don't think there are any comic book podcasts out there like it, or any podcast at all, for that matter. It's quite strange. The first episode is out now, and you can find it at iTunes by searching for Comic Book Doggerel. That's D-O-G-G-E-R-E-L. Or you can find it at Podomatic.com and search for Comic Book Doggerel. And that's it for now. So long, kids. This podcast is over. Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's all right, as long as you got someone to lay with.